So this is a question based on the story of Rishi Mandavya. For those of us who may not know, it applies to everyone. Of course, Mandavya Rishi's story is by and large that once some robbers steal some ornaments from the king's palace and they are running, and the king's sainik soldiers are chasing him. Then suddenly he sees Mandavya Rishi and meditating, and he drops all the ornament there that nobody will suspect him, and he goes one way. Then later on I'll pick up. But the police people chasing him, soldiers, they see it. Suddenly they see that the Rishi is having those gold ornaments. Rishi is in meditation, Mandavya. So they don't ask a question, just catch him. That he is a robber. He is the robber, and now he is trying to fool everyone. So they take him all the way, and the king, it's late evening. They ask, the king is busy with his own enjoyments, and they ask the king, "We have caught the robber who had stolen the ornaments. What shall we do?" He says, "Put him on the bed of nails." That was the punishment. Bed of nails, to be there whole night is as good as death. So they put him. They don't ask anything. Mandavya Rishi is silent about it. So they put him on the bed of nails. Next day they go to take away the dead body, and they see Mandavya Rishi is sitting on that and meditating. Now they are shocked. Who is he? So they go to the king, and the king comes, and king bows down to him. He says, "My God," he recognizes him. He says, "I am so sorry. I don't know what came over me, and I punished you." He said, "Who are you?" He said, "I am the king." He said, do you think you have the capacity to punish me?" He said, "But I was the one, I have passed the order." He said, no, you are giving too much importance to yourself. So he asked, "Where are you going now?" He said, "I am going to the realm of death to ask why this was inflicted upon me. I have done nothing except take God's name. Why should I go through this?" So he goes, and then when he goes there, he meets death. Says, "Well, certain lives back, you had punctured a butterfly's wing with a needle as a 5-year-old. Hence, you had to spend the night on bed of nails." And then he says, "Such a punishment, when a child in ignorance has punctured a butterfly's wings?" And he says, "With my tapobal, with the power of my tapasya, I changed this law." Wonderful story. So there are stories in Indian thought about changing the law. Savitri Satwan's story is along similar lines. So the question is that, well, divine grace can annihilate karma. So how does he do it? Let's put it like that. Now, actually, if you see, this truth about divine grace annihilating karma is revealed only by Sri Krishna and Sri Aurobindo. If you go in the past, nobody talks about it. Actually, karmic law is as such remains very vague. If you go into Buddhist understanding, it's very strange. Somebody else is bearing somebody's karma. It almost seems like that. The stream is moving forward. But that apart, the only two, as far as I know, who speak about that divine grace can completely annihilate karma. Nobody else speaks about that. Everybody says something you have to bear. It can mitigate. It can't change. He can let you go through it, taking you, carrying you. All this is said in spiritual scripture. But you cannot cancel karma. But one, Sri Krishna says, what does he say? Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. If you take complete surrender unto me, with your thoughts and minds fixed upon me, aham toa sarva pape bhyo mokshishyami masucha. Something akin to it also comes in one of the stories in Shiv Puran. The story is Markandeya, which Sri Aurobindo recounts this story also. It is a poem, little poem. I from the world's coils release. So there again, according to the law, destiny, he is supposed to die at 12 years of age. But just when he is, the Yama comes to take him, he says, "I belong to Shiva, and he is completely surrendered to him. And Shiva appears and he pushes back. Yama, he says, how dare you touch somebody who is under my care? So there are stories which indicate that. But open declaration, first Shri Krishna does, and then Mother says very clearly, Shurbindu's letter is also there. He says the divine grace can completely annihilate karma. So how does it do it? So there are two, three ways of doing it. One, of course, is the standard method that the divine grace lets you go through because there is a lesson to learn, but it is mitigated. He carries you in the arm. Something much minor happens. It's like where you could have broken a leg, you get a scratch. Where it would have been devastating, that storm or hurricane would have come, or a hurricane tornado changes into a minor storm. So that's one way that the divine does. He mitigates its brunt, because when a karmic law strikes, now I'm talking about karmic law in a very general sense, not going into it, then there are many things which are interconnected which compound the suffering a lot more. It may strike one person, but everybody connected suffers. Just imagine. So it's not as simple as that the karmic law is striking you and everything, every life. A person who is admitted in 3 months hospital is the sole breadwinner. So who is suffering? Not only he, but the family and everybody. So the divine mitigates it, lets you go through it, but arranges things in a way that, well, you go through some suffering. He also makes us conscious. This one way. The second way is the embodied divine can take upon himself the karma of the disciple. That is also well known. Sri Aurobindo talks about it. There is a very interesting incident which was recounted to me by someone who heard it from the person to whom it happened. So there was, I think, Jaswant Bhai from Gujarat. One day, suddenly, and this story is there in Ramayana also, and he is looking towards the window and Sri Aurobindo appears on the threshold and asks him to come up. And he is all thrilled because he always wanted, if I could get something of work of Sri Aurobindo. So when he goes there, Sri Aurobindo tells him, because that day Champaklalji was not there for some reason, for some work he had gone. So he says, this dhoti of mine, is it possible to wash it? He says, yes. He's very happy. He washes in the evening, he brings the dhoti, very happy. And Sri Aurobindo looks at him and says, with this one act of yours, I have washed away your karmas. Champaklalji is looking at Sri Aurobindo. He never said anything to me. So Sri Aurobindo smiles. Champaklalji didn't say anything. Sri Aurobindo smiled and putting his hand over his shoulders, he smiled and said, and yours too. So he can take, he can clean, he can take upon himself, that is the other part. But how it really works ultimately is because karmic law is about the interconnectedness of this universe. That's how the balance is kept. So why it's difficult to interfere with the karmic law? Because if you touch one point, everything else is connected. It's not just rescuing one person. Everything is connected with that. All the experiences that everybody has to go through. So even the cosmic divine cannot do it because, you know, it'll upset the whole balance of creation. And there is a very good question because there is a secret in it which at least I discovered. How does the grace act? Grace, the entire cosmos obeys. So when the grace touches, all the forces adjust. It's beyond time. So automatically, time sends all the ripples everywhere. So when you see Mother's action, that is the difference. When human beings in their impatience want to get out of a difficulty and they try their human way, there are repercussions. But if you trust the Divine Mother, keep offering to her, then you will see that she will bring out, but everything is harmonious, beautiful, everybody grows in the process, and at the end, what perhaps you felt is best happens, because deep within the soul knows, but it is something wonderful. That's the way the divine works, because you have to allow time for all these forces which are interconnected, they have to be banished and tackled. That is the problem of karmic law. So anybody who escapes from the realm cannot change it. Within the realm, all the gods cannot change the karma. They can mitigate it. Of course, Markandeya's story is special because he is Shiva's Ansh. That's a different story altogether. But the divine grace can completely annul karma. But something it requires, Mother says, it requires something from our side as a support. Support. So it's not. So people ask then, why doesn't it just cancel everybody's karma? Then the next question is, no, logical question. Why doesn't she just do it? So he says, because it is a karma, it requires something from your side. What is required? Just a little aspiration. Ma. Or she says, even if you cannot aspire, just faith that she can do it. She speaks of these two things, aspiration or faith. And of course, it's not an instantaneous miracle, but it will happen. And then she says that it can completely dissolve. Of course, she gives a provision that don't keep repeating it. Otherwise, it beats the very purpose. So entire thing, and she can even change inside the original vritti. That's the beauty, which is the seed of karma, is not action. This is the Western way of understanding it. The seed of karma is in the vritti. It is hiding inside. Outwardly action you have restrained, but the vritti is there. And it will sprout again. That's how karma keeps on sprouting. So either as a yogi, he tore desire up from its bleeding roots. That's not easy. Or she applies that lotion that, you know, like for warts people apply, you know, thuja, and it drops off. So slowly the roots dry off. And therefore you are freed from the clutch of karma. That is the way the divine grace works.